sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, sitting here with Becky Ivins on this Saturday morning. How are you doing, Becky?
I'm doing groovy. Harry Duncan's old term, groovy.
Harry Duncan.
Yeah.
So it's a groovy Saturday morning.
Yes, it is. And it's kind of a chilly morning, but we've been selling houses this week.
It has been a busy, busy week. Things.
Well,
usually,
we don't like to use the word busy because busy doesn't really mean a whole lot, does it?
You could be busy with a lot of busy work.
It could be. Yeah. But we have had a very productive week. We've got people buying houses. But the problem, we're going to talk a little bit about this, is our supply of houses that's been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
I kind of thought during the winter we might have a few more homes available because fewer people look for homes during the winter. Who wants to move when it's drizzling and icy outside, right?
Right.
Well, that has not been the case. Our inventory, right now we have about 2,900 and some homes on the market. And last year this time we had over 200 more on the market than we have right now that are available for purchase. So how long would that last us if we didn't put another house on the market for ever? How long would that last us?
About a month. We would sell out. So it's one of the things that we look at to keep track of what's happening in the market around us is mm-hmm. if nothing else is for sale, how long would it take for everything to be sold out, for there to be no homes for sale?
Well, and that's a mathematical thing. There are some really ugly houses out there, and there are some unsafe places that may not ever sell, overpriced places, that kind of thing.
So that's the part that really kind of always keep in the back of my mind when I think about that number is there are some homes you look at that will take a very, very long time to sell, may never because they're in such a odd place or there's something very odd about the house. And so, you know, it may never sell. And that's included in that month.
We've had a couple of those listed. And the quirkiness of the floor plan of some homes make, and especially when they're priced too high,
yeah,
you just can't find a buyer willing to overpay. So, you know, a lot of folks think, oh, well, you can get just any price you throw out there. Not the case.
Yeah.
Not the case, because buyers are pretty astute. They're not that desperate. They're not going to pay 130% more than that house, the market value of that house.
Do you think that's more true, like the more square footage a house has?
The more square footage a house has, the harder it is to sell nowadays, up to a certain limit, of course. But anything over about 4,000 feet, mm-hmm. maybe even 3,600 feet, people are more particular about how that space is allocated.
Yeah.
And the, I'll tell you what does sell right now, garages. I mean, people want garages. And you go out to the weather that we're about to have this week.
Right.
And that makes it really hard.
Right.
So if you have a nice big garage, that is wonderful because people will give up some things in a house to have a bigger garage.
So growing up here in Oklahoma, the garage was something we all loved and it was just kind of a part of life. And then post-college, I went to the East Coast and lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for about 15 years before coming back home. And in Raleigh, a lot of homes did not have garages. You would have $300,000-$400,000 houses and no garage. It was not a priority in that community to have a garage. And I thought it was so strange.
Kind of like Dallas. You will find 5,000 square foot homes with a two-car garage. And here, it's not that unusual to find under 2,000 square feet, 1,700, right. 1,800 square feet with a three-car garage, right?
Right. And I thought, where is this? And I'm like, I was born and raised here. I was like, I always loved the garage. So much multi-use.
It's our climate here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just sit right where that low pressure meets the high pressure, and you never know if it's going to push down and include the metro area or if it's going to stay up and not include the metro area. So it's kind of a mess. We're going to talk a lot about quirky houses today, and why some of them sell easily and why they don't sell easily. But on average, our average price home over, right now, because we get statistics every month, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, what's our average priced house?
So right now, and this is all of our stats trail 1 month behind, but it's $265,000 is the average sales price across all ranges of homes in Oklahoma right now.
In the central Oklahoma.
Central Oklahoma, which is at a, I was about to say it's all-time high, but we were just a smidge higher in May of 2021.
May of 21 was a really heavy month for real estate.
Yep.
We had less than a one-month supply. We had 0.9 months. Supply, I've never seen
Have
that.
You ever seen that before?
No.
Because the stats that I get to look at go back about 5 years, and I get to track about 5 years back, and you can see that was an all-time low at that time.
Well, and I'm going to have to show you another spot in the multi-list.
Oh.
Where we can, and I think really I get these statistics differently. It's not through the it's from the multi-list.
Right.
But not through the multi-list.
Yeah.
So you can go back a little bit further. Because
it's very interesting to look just where we're at, because mm-hmm. we have had our homes have been so affordable for so many years, and they still are if you compare it.
And I will tell you that when we are using the word average, we're using a mathematical average. We're not saying the average home.
Right.
Because the average home really sells for about $240,000 right now. And the median home sells for about
$221,000.
And median
$221,000.
And if you remember your math,
go back to great math class, about sixth grade math class, I think.
Okay, well, I probably didn't learn this that early, but anyway, the median there's as many homes above that number that sold higher, and as many homes that sold lower, and that kind of takes into account if you have a $14 million home sell, well, that's going to raise everybody's up. So the median is $221,000, and we're going to talk about what is selling and what maybe is lingering on the market and talk about quirkiness.
When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time to talk to our money man.
NMLS number 196895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this Saturday morning, Dean?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
We're doing absolutely fantastic. So we're talking about trends and things that are happening. There is a lot out there in the rumor mill that's happening with interest rates. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
You've seen for the first time, really, in some time, is rates move fairly significantly in a short period of time. So in the last 45 days, you've seen that 30-year rate move probably, honestly, Mark, in excess of a half a percent. So we were at a 3.2 environment. I closed 100 loans at 3.25. That was a great number. 45 days ago, you started this shift, and it peaked at close to 3.875. And in the last couple of days, you've seen the market improve a little bit. I think there is some speculation that we're going to see a, and I don't want to get carried away, a taper back down, but basically that it kind of, for the short term, that the 3.875 hit its peak. And so we're hopeful that we'll see, even though 3.75, 3.625 is a great number, hopefully we'll see it trend or slip back down a little bit. But, you know, you've got the inflation factors going on. You've got, there's just a lot going on that's driving the environment we're in today, again, which is still a great rate. It's just not as pretty as we all became accustomed to in 20 and 21 when it was historic.
Well, and I've heard Becky and you talk about that the interest rate oftentimes gets put up, like it gets increased, and they're kind of like testing the waters of how the economy reacts to it. And then sometimes it right. slides back down, and then it'll slide back up, and that's been the pattern.
Yeah, eventually the investors want more money, want more money return on their investment.
Well, and we typically hedge ahead of what we anticipate the Fed meeting to be, to, you know, what the market's doing. And then as things develop, you know, prettier than what the Fed came up with or what the results of the meeting were, you'll see ours, Mark, you're right. You'll see ours slip back down a little bit. But, you know, I don't see it returning to that 3.25 world that we became accustomed to most recently. And then, of course, in 20, the 2.75, 2.875, again, speaking both on 30-year terms, that was the norm. But, guys, that was historic. That was, you know, Becky and I have done this too long to where forever I've said a single digit's a great rate. Well, then that's changed a little bit with what we've witnessed in the last 10 or 12 years.
Yeah. Well, with inflation, we're going
to see. I think, Becky, you're right.
With inflation.
And I don't think you're going to go into the 6s and 7s and 8s again. I don't think that'll happen. You know, could it be in the mid to upper 4s end of year? Yeah, it could be. I think that's real, but it's not a bad rate. It's not as good.
Mark's looking at my face, and I'm like going, yeah, we will see 6s and 7s
you
again.
You think we'll see 6s and 7s again?
I definitely do.
I don't know.
Maybe not this year.
I don't think it'll be this year.
No, not this year. But we will. I think the major rates are going to be 4s this year. And how many – now, we're throwing out numbers today. We're using our mathematical skills. About how many people use FHA loans, VA loans, and conventional loans? What's the breakdown?
Historically, Oklahoma is a heavy government loan state.
FHA and VA.
And so typically, you know, 60-65% of business closed in the state of Oklahoma is government loans. You know, I speak on mine, you know, 25% of mine is government loans. But if you look at the state of Oklahoma, first-time buyeritis, VA, you know, the veterans that are out there, you know, it's a 60-65% government-insured state.
Yeah.
Great
well,
question.
This last year, probably great not, question. Because it was hard to get a VA or an FHA loan accepted because of the competitive market.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, and we'll see that results, you know, a year from now. But that's an incredible point, because I think those poor FHA buyers and VA, you know, the veterans, they're behind an eight ball today, Becky, as they're not getting. Yeah, and I get it, and I understand, and you do too. But you know, they're just not getting that consideration.
Well, and I get that because I mean, like three properties this week. We had multiple offers on, of course, the first day or two they're on the market. And we negotiated, I think we had 12 when we presented the offers to the seller. And three of them were conventional. This time we had no cash offers, which was unusual because usually you've got a couple of cash offers in there. But we ended up with three that were conventional. The rest, we didn't even have any VA, which was unusual. So we had FHA and conventional. Initially, the seller of the property says, well, I don't want to sell FHA. And I said, well, tell me about that. What difference does it make, the loan amount? Well, you have to fix so much stuff FHA. And that's reckoning back to yesteryear because conventional loans also can sometimes have some repairs. But we were talking about a house that wasn't, I mean, I didn't see it having any repairs. So it was fine to go FHA or conventional. And the difference in the net to the seller was about $100 difference. They get about $100 more on conventional. And they sell their house to an investor as opposed to a homeowner. And that makes a difference to folks. Who buys their house? It's been their family home forever. Yeah. And they don't want it to be a rental. So sometimes they'll give up the $100 for that.
And the perception, and it's accurate sometimes, but if we are to generalize, your conventional borrowers have greater credit. So I think when talking to some sellers, you know, when you say FHA, they immediately think a bad credit, and that's not accurate. But stronger credit typically is in that conventional world. Whereas if you're a seller, I do think a lot of it is repair related, but I think some of it is buyer quality because they're assuming the guy has to go FHA because, you know, he's got bad credit. We may have great credit with little money. You know, you just don't know. But I think people generalize or assume FHA VA is going to be a tough road to follow, and it's not. I mean, it can be. Yeah, I mean, I think quality of some FHA VA buyers aren't as strong as conventional, but it doesn't mean, it's like you said, if the house doesn't need repairs, I'm not sure why that's a factor.
Well, it's a mindset of a seller from yesteryear.
Totally.
For sure.
Yep. Because in the old days, you know, those FHA repair requirements were a laundry list. And so I think, you know, that mindset that you touched on, that's what people think of today. And that's not accurate. You know, the big difference of what you just talked about, though, conventional appraisal is typically as is. And I'll always say subject to mechanical, electrical, plumbing issues, safety, soundness. But FHA can be more in-depth than that, but it still applies to safety soundness rules. So you, as an incredible realtor, know your homes, and if it's going to meet FHA requirements with resistance or not, or I mean, that's where the consumer or the seller's got to trust the in-depth knowledge of the Beckys of the world to say, you know what do you think? Because you've done this, you sold a home or two or 1,200.
We can see those things that most FHA appraisals are going to point out. But it always comes down to the individual, like that appraiser coming in. So it is something that we just has to be a part of the conversation. And if you want to have a conversation with Dean Riddell, Matt McLean at SWBC Mortgage, you can give them a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see SWBC Mortgage right there. Dean, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, good show.
Boy, it sounds like if anybody has been on that fence, you and I have been talking about that. We knew it was coming, that rates are going to be going up.
Right.
And people who have been kind of on that, when's the right time to do it?
Well, still, if you are paying 5%, 5.5% interest on your loan right now, you should be refinancing so that you can get it at 3.75 or whatever the rate is, because there's also fees involved. And sometimes you can pay more fees and get a lower rate over the years, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to pay much to lower a very low rate anyway.
So you just have to have that in now. So we're talking about things that are currently selling and things that are not selling in the market. So let's hit things that are selling. And then when we come back after the break, we'll talk about things that are not selling. So what is selling?
Well, you're out there with buyers all the time, Mark. The typical 3 and 4 bedroom house that are most of them built after 1990, because folks like to buy newer places, and our standard kind of changed in the early 90s to a different type of build. They've got the taller ceilings. They actually are taller houses because they're built up off the ground further so that there's not the rust in vents and such.
Yep.
So
that is what's selling. And we'll come back more with what's not selling and take your calls. You can call in at 840-1000 and join the conversation. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. And it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, I thought that was pretty clever the way Mike Gannon did our music, because it was pretty quirky.
Word of the day is quirky.
And quirky is, I think, a pretty easily understood word if you use it in a sentence. It really, something quirky is characterized by peculiar or unexpected traits. And that's what we're talking about today, is quirky properties. So if you think about quirky properties, in Midwest City, you found a lot of properties that are very narrow and extremely long. They could be 1,320 deep and only be 120 feet wide because of the way Eastern Oklahoma County is rich with these properties. And I always say it's like, well, you could use it for a landing strip or a spaghetti farm. I mean, so that's kind of quirky on the way property itself, the real property, is positioned.
Yeah.
Another quirky property we just closed on yesterday is 5 acres, and it had a stream running through it and lots of trees, but most people did not see the beauty in that. They wanted pasture where they could have a couple of horses or something, and it was a treed acreage. You remember this one? Because you went me to list it.
Absolutely.
And we sat under a big oak tree in the front yard with the wind. It was a very terrific property.
Yeah.
At Southwest 89th and Rockwell.
Yeah.
5 acres. And it had a little house on it. That's the deal.
Just to the west of the airport.
And
great location. I loved where it was. And I loved the land.
It was cool, wasn't it? But most people would not pay that. It was a big dollar value, about $250,000 or so, for a 1,300 square foot, 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom house with a 1-car garage. That's a lot of money to pay for that kind of a house.
Yeah.
But it was sitting on that kind of land. So that was a quirky arrangement, because usually when you have 5 acres and with a house on it, that close into town, you're going to get a great big house.
Right.
A big mansion of sorts. And this was anything but. But man, the people that bought that, love it, love it, love it. So that was great to see. And the owners of that had owned it for about a half a century.
Yeah.
So they were pleased that someone liked it. So quirky properties are sometimes kind of hard to sell. You've got to find just, they do not appeal to the masses. So we've got a quirky property listed right now in Norman. So, and you've been there.
I do. And I love this house.
Well, it's quirky though, isn't it?
I have probably shown it to a dozen people, and it is a very unique layout where it was custom built, and you have a master bedroom is kind of in the center of the house, with this little sunroom right off the master that is sort of a sunroom, sort of not a sunroom. And so when I take people there, they sit there and they walk between the master and this little sunroom and try to figure out, what exactly do I put here? I'm not really sure how to use this.
Yeah,
space.
And that overlooks the acreage.
It does, right, and it looks out the back.
Of course, I would put my little desk there in a reading chair because that would be a perfect place to be able to look out and work.
Right.
But I don't recall that master being in the middle of the house. Isn't it on the west edge?
It is. No, because behind, because it has a very, very large master bathroom.
Bathroom.
That's to the west and kind of wraps a little bit to the north of where the master bedroom is. And then it has the two guest bedrooms that are down that wing.
Right.
That really border the outside of the.
And then it's got another in-law type room on the other side of the house.
On the other side, upstairs, has an in-law, kind of an in-law suite that's upstairs.
Well, on both sides of the house.
Right, but the upstairs don't connect to one another.
Right, so you go up one set of stairs to the east side where you've got a bed and bath, nice big place.
Yeah.
And then on the west side, it's kind of the same thing. Bedroom and upstairs, its own separate staircase. Lots of dramatic steps as you come in. You go down, you go up. Very dramatic home.
Yeah.
And it sits in Norman proper.
Oh, my gosh. Just right off of Main Street in Norman, kind of in a cul-de-sac, in the really, I mean, it doesn't take you very long to get to I-35.
Right off I-35.
Right off of, but when you're back at the house, it feels like it's
in the country.
Nowhere near. Yeah.
I know.
Feels like a very country home.
And
it's
have
real
these
unique.
Big, nice homes with a mobile home park close by, which is what a lot of people have found objection to.
Yeah.
Now, we'll find somebody who doesn't care because they'll plant big trees and
right, just plant some big trees along the back.
Yeah, because
there, and you would,
and that's been there forever.
Yeah,
so it's a pretty stable place. Yeah. So anyway, that's a quirky house.
It is. It's a very quirky house, and one that, you find these. So typically, the more quirky a house is, it is harder to find a buyer to fit the quirkiness.
Right. Small houses. On the break, you were talking about small houses tend to be less quirky than big houses. However, small houses that have been built onto, not immune to being quirky, right? Because some of these, they build on all the way to the back because the lot's skinny. They can't build onto the side.
Yeah.
They convert garages, and the garages are down several steps. They don't bring it up to the level of the rest of the house. And sometimes when people build onto a house, the proportions get mixed up. Like you build on two bedrooms and two bathrooms. And they're nice big ones, but it was originally 1,150 square foot house, and now it's about you double the size because you build on some nice big closets in those bedrooms and stuff. Well, the kitchen and
the kitchen
living room
support
are the same size,
yeah.
that they were. So proportionately, it doesn't work for most people.
Yeah.
You know, that I've sold more houses by putting an extra chair in the living room. The sometimes people who just have two folks living there, this is pretty often, will have four places to sit in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
They will have a couch and a chair, or maybe they'll have a couch and a love seat. Well, that's still just, if you think about that, most of the time when people sit on a couch, it is not three across. It is usually one on each end.
Mm.
But it'll be a four-bedroom house. And for a four-bedroom house, can you imagine if you only had in your house, because you've got four bedrooms.
Yes.
Okay. Can you imagine if you only had four places to sit in your living room? Well, I mean, your family takes up six places, right?
Yeah.
Seven places.
We'd have to pick which kid had to stand for the time.
Well,
you have to stand for the movie.
Which group of kids? Because you do have a passel of kids there.
We do.
But then for visitors to come over, if you've got a family of seven like you do, and I know that you've got a couple of them out of the house.
Yeah.
But when they come back to visit, there needs to be a place to sit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of quirky to have a four-bedroom house and only a four or five places to sit in the living room. You need to scoot it over and add a couple of chairs. Then you sell the houses.
We see that in places like Bethany. Like Bethany has a lot of homes that have been added on to through the years because they want to stay in the school district. They want to stay within that. And so you have a lot of built on.
Well, you see that in War Acres and Midwest City as well, because that was post-war housing. And people could only afford a certain amount. There were usually little two-bedroom, one-bathroom houses. And a lot of them didn't even have garages.
Yeah.
But people have built on since then. But the lot restricts which direction, or the floor plan restricts which direction you can build on.
Yeah.
So it's not, it becomes a quirky floor plan. And quirky's hard to sell. And problems are hard to sell. You got foundation problems. You have environmental issues such as mold.
How do you talk to a seller when you walk in and you know this is a that they have a problem?
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from our break.
We'll come back with that and more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food.
Well, our smoking hot deal, we have to have two because I'm going to tell you a typical one and then a quirky one, okay? Because we're talking quirky today, right?
Right.
The typical one is coming on the market on Monday, and that is in Windsor Hills. So, Mark, that's your listing. You tell us about it.
Yeah, it was built in 1963. It's just off of, it's on Northwest 31st Street, just off of Meridian. It is a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house. So the four bedrooms are all down, single hallway, has a dual living area, has a front and back living area, two-car garage. The half-bath is off of the
kitchen.
Utility.
Yeah.
So kitchen has its own. The utility is not a walkthrough. Utility is its own separate
room. I love that.
It's really nice utility area. One of the great features of this house is it has a sunroom in the backyard that is really well done.
I was going to ask you, it's in Windsor Hills. It has to have a sunroom on the back. There was the best sunroom salesman ever. Went through
Windsor Hills.
And they had the big backyards
With
the great big pecan trees and stuff. I mean, that's what you find in Windsor Hills. And they, I'm going to tell you, at least half of them have the sunroom on the back of it.
Yeah.
And they're nice ones. And they've held up over time. And that's about 2,000 square feet. And it's listed.
2,000 is going to be listed at $209,000.
Well, so get ready for multiple offers on
exactly
that one.
Exactly. If you want to, if this is ringing a bell for you, go on BeckyIvins.com. You can click on search listings. It will be on there on Monday. Just contact us at 405-722-3232. And we will get you the first in.
Well, and go ahead and, I mean, that is a nice hip roof, which you find a lot mm-hmm. in Windsor Hills. I love the hip roof. And then it is a one story, which is unusual. And it doesn't have the sunken room, does it?
No. Everything's on single all level.
All on one level.
All on one level.
No steps up to the front porch even.
Nope. And Larry Robbins went and checked out the roof. Says it looks good.
Okay,
so we are.
Well, we trust Larry, that's for sure. So, okay, that's our smoking hot deal. Now let me tell you about a quirky one that's been off the market a while. I read our Facebook group and I'm going, ooh, are you complaining about me because they didn't use a name? But they said, well, what do you do when you keep asking for an appointment and the realtor won't confirm it? Well, remember that we're in a pandemic to start with. Because this house was taken off the market. We had some comments about it was just not updated enough.
Yeah.
So they took it off the market during the Christmas holiday, and they've done some updates to it. And this one's in Putnam Heights, very popular neighborhood. Two-story, big house. It's about 4,000 feet, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a duplex. So that floor plan's pretty quirky. But it was an upstairs and a downstairs duplex.
Yeah.
It's got two front doors. There's a closet between the front doors, basically, that belongs to the east side of the property. And you go through the closet, and since the stairs kind of take a turn, you kind of have to duck down to get under this second little door to get to the other side of the house. So that makes it a quirky floor plan.
Yeah.
But the floor plan's kind of the same upstairs and downstairs. They've changed the kitchen to a really nice, I guess you would just call it a entertainment area upstairs. Mm. So it's got a nice, but they decided to have the floors refinished upstairs. Okay, that's no big deal while they had it off the market, except that we put it back on the market and at the date they told us, and we couldn't show it because the guy that was redoing the floors had them started, but then he ended up with COVID, and evidently it was not an easy COVID. So it took about 2.5 weeks for him to be able to get out and do something. Then he came back and worked another day, got an ankle injury. I don't know whether it was at the house or somewhere else, but it's hard to refinish floors, evidently, when you have an ankle injury. So we keep taking it temporarily off the market, and then the MLS pops it back on after a certain number of days.
Yeah.
And so it's just an unusual timing and a quirky floor plan. But the best part about that house is the backyard has an in-ground pool to start with.
I love that backyard.
It's got a two-car garage.
Yeah.
And a storage beside that garage. And it's got a very deep parking lot. When these folks bought this house, they realized that the owner also owned the house behind it. And they said, well, we'll buy this from you if you'll include this many feet of the backyard of that other house, which was a smaller house
mm-hmm.
and didn't need the big backyard.
Yeah.
So it's got lots of parking back there. So that's another one that's in Putnam Heights, and it's, what is it, 1501 Northwest 38th?
Mm-hmm.
And so that will go on the market pending no more injuries for the repairman. This week.
I was supposed to show this house twice today and had to call the clients and reschedule and say, this poor gentleman, what a bad couple weeks he's had. And he needs
about
to
a month now, hasn't it?
He needs to go pray through or go find him a four-leaf clover or whatever works for him. He needs something good to happen in his life.
The people that own that house are the nicest people, though, and they've owned it for a while, and it's been a family home. But it does have a quirky floor plan because it's got some porches that have been enclosed as living area, but they've been enclosed, I mean, decades ago. So they're really living areas, but there's not a lot of hallway in that house. There are rooms off of the big living rooms.
So that's our Smoking Hot Deals brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. All right, Becky, so we told them we would come back to how do you talk to a seller when it's not just quirky, but it's a problem.
Well, my saying is folks will buy a project, but they will not buy a problem. So if it's a safety or not working as intended item there, or it's broken, so that's kind of the three criteria, is broken, unsafe, or not working as intended. Those items. So if your roof is leaking, it's not working as intended, right?
Right.
If your window panes are broken, they're broken, and they need to be fixed. There's different degrees of, like, windows that are fogged up. They've lost the seal in between the panes of glass. Sometimes if they just can't be seen through, that's terrible. So you don't want – it's hard to sell that.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as hard to sell it as it used to be because nowadays there's such a backlog on getting windows. It's about 4 to 6 months out right now to get glass replacement. So you can pay for it and then have it done after closing, which is kind of an unusual thing historically. Usually you have to have things done before closing.
Right.
If it's got mold growing somewhere, we've dealt with that with a listing this week. Mold growing somewhere, there needs to be an air test. And so if it's a problem, you want to fix it. And I just say, let's identify what almost every buyer is going to ask you to fix, and let's get those things fixed.
Let's go ahead and get it done. Yep, that's exactly it. And that's like ends up that conversation. And if you want to have that conversation about your house, what do you need to get ready to get it on the market in the spring? Now's the time to start that conversation.
And when you deal with us, it typically is not an issue if you don't know who to call for a repair or if you don't have the money to pay for a repair, because we help with that.
We got some solutions for you. Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll be back next week here, right here on News Radio 1000 KTOK.